James chapter 4. I did say to Chris before, when he gave me this reading, this is in preparation for the church meeting. What causes fights and quarrels among you? Don't they come from your desires that battle within you? You want something but don't get it. You kill and covet, but you cannot have what you want. You quarrel and fight. You do not have, because you do not ask God. When you ask, you do not receive, because you ask with wrong motives, that you may spend what you get on your pleasures. You adulterous people, don't you know that friendship with the world is hatred towards God? Anyone who chooses to be a friend of the world becomes an enemy of God. Or do you think Scripture says, without reason, that the Spirit he causes to live in us envies intensely? But he gives us more grace. That is why the Scripture said, God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Submit yourselves then to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Come near to God, and he will come near to you. Wash your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Grieve, mourn, and wail. Change your laughter to mourning, and your joy to gloom. Humble yourselves before the Lord, and he will lift you up.
Let's pray. Father, we give you thanks for this day and for your word. And I pray right now that I would bring words that are only from you. Words to help each one of us hear more of you. Amen. You know, during the US Civil War, Abraham Lincoln met with a group of ministers. He wasn't a particularly avid churchgoer himself, although at times he was a man of some sort of faith. But you know, at one point, one of the ministers said to him, Mr. President, let us pray that God will be on our side. And yet Lincoln's response showed a far greater insight. He said, no, let us pray that we are on God's side. Lincoln reminded those ministers, our faith is not a tool by which we get God to give us what we want, but an invitation to open ourselves up to what God is doing. Last week, when we thought about thy kingdom come, we thought about that being a very difficult thing to pray. Praying for God's will to be done can also be a very difficult thing. If we're honest, we can all pray for it, pray for God's will to be done. And we have a good idea in our own minds of what we think God's will should be. And yet God has a bigger picture than we have. God's will can be something so complex. Praying for God's will to be done on this earth. I've got to be honest, I've said those words before. Thy will be done, without the faintest idea of what God's will actually is. It can be quite a dangerous thing in some ways to pray, praying for God's will to be done. What could that mean happening? It can make us very uncomfortable if we're honest. Praying for God's will to be done is the very foundation of our prayers. Asking God's will to be done in our lives and in the world around us. So often we can say that, have a bit of a stock phrase we use. Lord, just have your way, your will to be done. Because we don't know what else to pray for. We've said it so many times about our own nation in the last few months, just saying, Lord, have your way, because we don't know what the way is. We see all the things on television, we see our politicians squabbling, all these different things going on, and we don't know what to make of it. And it can be all we can say, Lord, have your way. Your will be done in this situation, because we don't know the answers ourselves. But you know, when we ask God for his will to be done, this can be something very difficult in our lives. Asking his will to be done in our own life. When we pray for his will to be done, there's four things that we're praying for. Firstly, to discover what God's will actually is. Psalm 119, verse 18, open my eyes that I may see the wonderful things in your law. Praying for God's will to be done. We're praying to understand God's will. You know, in our lives every day, we need guidance. We need God to show us the way. And His Word is that great guidance that we have, the Bible. This is about total surrender to God. We can come up with our best laid plans and clever strategies and different ideas. But in effect, we're asking Him to provide the way, to have His will. So often we can say, well, God's asking us to do this. We're going to ask God to bless our own plans and these good ideas that we've come up with. And it's so important about the state of our hearts, surrendering to His will. Surrendering our own thoughts and our own plans to Him. Because in reality, our vision can be quite narrow. We only see a very small amount of things. God sees a far bigger picture. We have our own thoughts about how God should be at work, very often based on our own experiences. I know I do. I think about ways that God's worked in the past, and sometimes I can just limit Him. I think, well, that's how God works. But God works in greater ways than we can imagine. God can work in new and different ways, ways that we might not be expecting. You know, we're not praying for God's will to be done in order to make God change His mind and get God to come round to our way of thinking. It's about growing in our relationship with Him. And for us to understand what God's doing. For us to come round to God, to what God's plans are. A reminder about seeking God, taking time to be still. It's like in any relationship, when we get to know each other better, we have a better idea of what the other person is thinking. We read it in John 15:7. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. This is not coming before God and with our prayers and getting whatever we want, but about seeking God. The key is, it says, if you remain in me, if we're seeking Him, He brings us round to His will and plans. We read in verse 3 of the passage that Richard read, when you ask, you do not receive, because you ask with the wrong motives, that you may spend it on your pleasures. When we're seeking God, I believe He steers our heart in the right direction. He brings our will and our own thoughts into line with His. Have you ever said that prayer before? Lord, steer my heart in the right direction. Steer it to God's will. Maybe you're going through something today and in need of guidance. Pray for Him to steer your heart in the right direction. It reminds us of the importance of listening to God. And once again, we're back to our text for the year. He says, be still and know that I am God. Being still, taking those moments to listen to God. Listen to what He's saying. It can mean just sitting and listening, or it can mean allowing Him to speak in our daily lives, expecting Him to speak, knowing that He speaks to each one of us. As well as discovering God's will, understanding what God's will is. Understanding what God's will is. Maybe we have thoughts and ideas, but then we ask the question, does it measure up with what's in God's Word? Does it measure up with what God's Word tells us? It's a question to ask ourselves. How much in line is it with God's Word? Can ask it for ourselves individually or as a church, as a nation. We come back to God's Word to understand His will. What causes fights and quarrels among you? Don't they come from the desires that battle within you? You desire, but you don't have, so you kill. You covet, but you cannot get what you want, so you quarrel and fight. You do not have because you do not ask God. Coming back to Him and saying, I want to know your will. I want to know your plans. Coming together to discuss in unity and in love. And yes, if a decision is difficult, also seek godly counsel as well. Proverbs 11, for lack of guidance a nation falls, but victory is won through many advisors. It reminds us of the importance of praying together. Praying with one another. Seeking God together. Through earnest prayer. Ask the Father to steer us in the right direction. James 1:5. If any one of you lacks wisdom, you should ask God who gives generously without finding fault, and it will be given to you. We ask for God's will to be done. Seek Him through prayer. You know, God has a different timetable to us. Charles Swindoll said, God doesn't work on our timetable. He has a plan that He will execute perfectly for the highest, greatest good of all and for His ultimate glory. So often the passage of time will open or close a door for opportunity. And yet this should be done with a sense of peace and acceptance. And so as well as discovering God's will and understanding God's will, it's important to submit to God's will. And this can be such a hard thing to do. Submission to anything. Submitting to God's will. We read in Romans 12, it's our privilege to submit to God, the perfect will of God. We read, do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you'll be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, pleasing and perfect will. We're being called not to conform to the patterns of this world, but to be changed by God, allowing God to change us, allowing Him to shape us for His will and for His purposes. You know, on Tuesday at the prayer meeting, we were going through 1 Peter and thinking about the idea of living in a world that's hostile to the gospel. Living as strangers in this world, but carrying out God's will. You know, it's a challenge. It becomes more of a challenge in this nation, and in some parts of the world, it's an even bigger challenge, living out God's will. It is a challenge. And we read in verse 7 of the passage from James, submit yourselves then to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Do you know, the second half of that verse, we often hear it quoted, resist the devil and he will flee from you. We don't always include that first bit. Submit yourselves then to God. Submission to God. Submitting to Him. We like the idea of resisting the devil, but submitting to God. That can be a challenge, especially when it goes against what we've been thinking and what we would like. Especially when we've got our own plans and we spent a lot of time on them. And actually, God says, no, I have another way. The truth is, amongst all the unrest, frustration and difficulties there can be, the powerlessness that we can have in our Christian life, it can be traced back to having our own will. God's will is the perfect will. And this can be really difficult, especially when we look at those that we know and love in our own lives. Those we'd like to come to a faith, those we've invested a lot of time in, we see them going their own way, making the wrong choices. It can be very difficult to give that situation over to God and say, I want you to have control. Because we like to force the issue with things. We like to have our own control. I know I certainly do. Surrendering it over to God, allowing Him to be at work, and knowing that He's got the perfect will, can be very difficult. It's that thing of not having control, not being in control. We would like to have our own timetable. Know exactly everything that's going on. Know all the plans. I'd love to have that. I'd love to have a time, like God's timetable up on my wall. That'd be so useful, so helpful. When I saw Helen Jervis a few weeks ago, she said, we'd all like our own timetable, but God's got the perfect timetable. Such a good thing to be reminded of. I need to remind myself of that all the time. God's got the perfect timetable. God's will is perfect. I wonder, have you ever prayed something for your own will? Something that you'd quite like to happen? Has anyone prayed for Wales to win the Rugby World Cup? I haven't, I have to say. Not even for England. But you know, if we're honest, we do pray for things that we would like to happen. And is there anything wrong with that? There comes a point of saying, I'd like this to happen, God. But Lord, have your way. We can come right back to Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane. If possible, may this cup pass from me. Yet not as I will, but as you will. Have you ever said that prayer? Lord, not as I will, but your will. As well as that, we pray for God's will to be done, to accomplish God's plan, to accomplish God's purposes. Paul's prayer for the Colossians was that they would continually ask God to fill them with the knowledge of his will through all the wisdom and understanding the Spirit gives, so that you may live a life worthy of the Lord and please him in every way, bearing fruit in every good work, growing in the knowledge of God. The more we spend time with God, praying to him, the more he helps us to grow. The more we grow in that relationship with him, the more we understand him, the more we come towards his plans and purposes. And it's very hard, because when we pray those words, thy will be done on earth as well as in heaven. You know, it was once said that for Christians who would like an easy life, don't pray for God's will to be done on earth. Perhaps we like the idea of heaven being far away, but the idea of God's will being done on earth, does that make us feel uncomfortable? If we pull back for a moment to get a glimpse of how his will is done, what do we think we would see? God being at work. God's got the perfect plan. Have you ever had that experience of looking back in your life thinking, I'm glad God didn't show me what was ahead. I'm glad God didn't show me the way earlier. I wouldn't have coped with it. God wants to use us to achieve his plans and purposes. God's got a plan for each one of us. This very week, God's called us into different places. God's prepared different people for us to meet during this week. Different conversations, and it may seem insignificant, and yet God can work through all of those things. God can use us in all of those places for his will. Seeking the will of God, for God's will to be done, is something which is so important both for us individually and as a church, and in fact as a nation, seeking God's will to be done. And it's difficult because so much of this can mean sacrifice. Very often it means pain. And whilst it may mean sacrificing something very dear to us, very precious to us, to accomplish God's will, trusting in him through those difficulties, to know that he will bring the perfect plans, the perfect promises, trusting in him to make things to work out better than we could ever imagine. Because yes, we all have our own plans and our own thoughts. We all have our own ideas about the way things should be. And yet God has that perfect plan. When we're able to look back, we can see how God was at work, bringing about the perfect plan. Maybe you've had that experience of looking back and thinking, I'm glad God closed that door for me, because I was ready to go through it. And now I'm glad that God was at work, that God had his way. God calls us to draw near to him, support us with whatever challenges there might be. And yes, submitting to God, asking his will to be done, truly submitting to that in our hearts is difficult and painful. It certainly can be. And yet God promises to bring us through all of that. We read in verse 8, come near to God and he will come near to you. When we come near to God, he steers our hearts in the right direction. He promises us that he'll bring us through whatever we might face. He doesn't promise that it will be easy, but he promises to bring us through it all. I'm going to close with a poem by an unknown poet, and it's called The Will of God. The will of God will never take you where the grace of God cannot keep you, where the arms of God cannot support you, where the riches of God cannot supply your needs, where the power of God cannot endow you. The will of God will never take you where the Spirit of God cannot work through you, where the wisdom of God cannot reach you, where the army of God cannot protect you, where the hands of God cannot mold you. The will of God will never take you where the love of God cannot enfold you, where the mercies of God cannot calm you, where the peace of God cannot calm your fears, where the authority of God cannot overrule you. The will of God will never take you where the comfort of God cannot dry your tears, where the word of God cannot feed you, where the miracles of God cannot be done for you, where the omnipresence of God cannot find you. Everything happens for a purpose. We may not see the wisdom of it all, but trust and believe that the Lord, with the Lord, everything is for the best. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for the privilege of prayer, for the privilege of coming before you, to know that you love us and you have the perfect plans. And so help us to seek you each day, to seek your guidance, to know that we can trust in your promises, and know that it's only truly in your will that we have that total freedom. And so, Father, for us as a church and for us individually in our lives, we pray that your will shall be done. Amen. Amen.